and welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are, as always, Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, gentlemen, let's jump right in. Perhaps you've heard there was a big leak at the Supreme Court this week. Let's talk about not so much the leak, but the ripple effect of reversing Roe now that proverbial cat is out of the bag. Jason, we'll begin with you. If the court does decide to change the law here, what changes in New York?
Well, not a lot will change in New York regarding access to abortion, except it may get worse. There is an effort, even in the final days of the legislative session, to expand abortion access again. This time, there's an emphasis on helping women from out of state come to the state to receive their abortions and providing extradition safe harbor for abortionists.
Yeah. Currently in Pennsylvania, Michael, abortions are legal up through 24 weeks. Does that change should Roe be struck down?
No, that's not going to change, nor the other laws that are on the books here in Pennsylvania. But what is looming in Pennsylvania is a Pennsylvania Supreme Court case that could basically make Pennsylvania look like New York or Virginia or these other states that have the extreme abortion laws. That case would mandate, if the Supreme Court rules as Planned Parenthood wants them to do, would mandate taxpayer funding of abortion in Pennsylvania and declare a right to abortion in Pennsylvania. So we're in kind of a danger zone, which is why we at Pennsylvania Family Institute are backing a constitutional amendment that will at least protect life in Pennsylvania.
So next week, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has scheduled a vote to federalize abortion law to try and get out in front of this decision from the high court. How would that throw a monkey wrench into whatever the court decides come June or July, Jason?
Well, I think that Senator Schumer knows that the votes won't be there. I think this is more an effort to energize the Democratic base in anticipation of the midterms. Democrats have been struggling to find an issue that would get their base to the polls, and certainly the abortion issue is one way they're hoping to get people motivated around a key plank of the Democratic platform.
Yeah, how much will this play in Pennsylvania, this effort to energize the base, to mobilize voters, Democratic voters, given this new conversation we're having about abortion, Michael?
Well, I think it will have certainly a role, but I think that was going to happen even if the decision came down in June. You know, I think that's sort of baked into the cake, as it were, going into this election. But, you know, both sides, I think, have the ability to motivate. We, you know, are calling for a Pennsylvania March for Life on September 19th here in Harrisburg because we believe the pro-life community can be very much energized in terms of moving forward to protect life.
Yeah. So much about abortion being legal, rare, and safe. We saw this week Tish James bragging about the abortion that she got 20 years ago. New York's governor also very adamantly pro-choice. I thought it was interesting, Jason, New York's not had a pro-life governor since before Roe v. Wade. How about Lee Zeldin and the others running for governor? How strong are they on the pro-life issue?
Yeah, you saw that recently Lee Zeldin was labeled by the Democratic Party as dangerous for his pro-life views. He was involved in a conference call, a webinar with the New York State Right to Life, and as a result of that conversation, he was dubbed dangerous. And he might be for the Democrats' agenda, but he has a pro-life position. So does Mr. Astorino, and appears as going to be a primary heading into the Republican ballot. And so I think there will be a number of candidates on that ballot who have pro-life positions. Mm-hmm. The question now is, what will voters do when they head to those polls?
We see where Mr. Shapiro is on this abortion politics spectrum, Michael, but talk about the GOP contenders, if you would, and how strong are they on the pro-life issue?
All of the candidates on the GOP side on the governor's race are strong pro-lifers, and several of them this week on social media were posting comments related to what appears to be the overturn of Roe versus Wade in very positive terms. So I think that mirrors the Republican Party in Pennsylvania and a substantial part of the electorate, and they seem to be holding firm even as this news has come out this week.
All right. Well, let's change gears a little bit, talk primaries. Jason, I'm trying to make sense of this. The primaries for Assembly and Governor go for launch late June. Primaries for State Senate, Congress, they've been delayed till August. There's been talk about maybe may be this benefiting former governor named Andrew Cuomo. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that that June primary, while we say it's a go, it may not be. This is still in the courts, and if that is delayed and if this heads towards August, certainly that gives opportunity for Andrew Cuomo to run for office again. The Democratic Party here in New York is rapidly pro-abortion, and it was Governor Andrew Cuomo who promoted that late-term abortion expansion act. He signed it into law, and that progressive base will not forget that.
Yeah, hard to believe primary day, Michael, is just 10 days away now. A lot of people have been asking this question. Why can't the politically unaffiliated participate in the primary election? Do you think that needs to change?
I'm in the camp that says no. I don't think it should change. The way it's set up here in Pennsylvania is what are called closed primaries, where Republican voters, those who are registered as Republicans or conversely Democrats, pick the candidates that they think best represent their party to be the candidates on the ballot in the fall. And when you open it up to sort of open voting, then you could have, for example, people playing mischief and picking candidates that they hope will lose in the fall by voting for someone on the opposite side. So I'm in favor of keeping it the way it is. And those who want to vote in primaries can register in one of the two parties, even if they want to maintain sort of a independent profile as they vote.
Gotcha. Next week, Jason, and there's more information on this on your website. We'll give that at the end. But left-wing activists are going to be rallying in Albany for inclusion of what they're calling the Equality Amendment in the state constitution. On the surface, that sounds like a good idea, but when you dig deeper, maybe not so much. How realistic is it that this would pass? And if it does, what does that mean?
Well, it's likely it's going to pass due to the pent-up energy right now regarding a kind of a post-Roe situation here in New York. But if this were eventually to become constitutional here in New York, it would prohibit discrimination on pregnancy outcomes. And so there'd be places that, such as pro-life pregnancy centers, that would have to hire people regardless of their views on the issue of abortion. What's interesting is in enshrining this progressive agenda into our Constitution, the debate that's bottling it up is whether or not religion should be included in that list of protected peoples.
Also, on your website, Michael, this just a big story that may be flying under the radar, but you're paying attention to it. The State Human Relations Commission wants to change the definition of sex. How does this threaten religious freedom and privacy rights?
Well, basically what they're doing is, and with the governor's assistance, is doing an end-around of the Pennsylvania General Assembly in terms of creating a situation where the commission will make its decisions based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. So it's, in effect, creating anti-discrimination laws, these sexual orientation, gender identity laws that threaten religion, threaten religious freedom, and are something that the legislature has said no to, and they're trying to do it by bureaucratic fiat.
Yeah. There was a big story last week, Jason. New York, one of several blue states, and how the COVID cash meant to keep schools open was divvied up. A lot of that COVID cash in New York that we thought was going to keep schools open during the pandemic instead went to expand critical race theory in the classroom. Is anyone in Albany throwing a red flag here? How did this happen?
Well, not a word is being spoken about that issue. This is something we're not hearing about in Albany, but I will tell you that parents across the state are concerned about diversity, equity, and inclusion agendas that are happening in public schools across the state. That's why the school board elections coming up are so important.
Yep, coming up fast 10 days from now. Michael, we'll end with you on this one. Your former health commissioner, Dr. Rachel Levine, making news this week by suggesting that pediatricians are all in agreement, 100% agreement, on the importance of gender-affirming care. First of all, what is that? And how damaging has this gender-bender ideology been for today's youth?
Well, I think this new disinformation panel that the Biden administration is creating should throw a red flag directly at Rachel Levine. I mean, that's just absolutely not true, that there's no controversy or difference of opinion on this. What this gender-affirming care is actually puberty blockers and hormones being administered to young people, even minors who want to go through what they call changing their sex. But then it also includes top surgery, bottom surgery, of taking off healthy organs on children. And this is wrong and something that should not be affirmed. And we oppose it at Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, just like that, our 10 minutes are up. But hey, learn more about this Equality Amendment in New York. What is that all about? Jason, you have a wonderful website, sir, where folks can go and learn more. What is that?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on what the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission is up to these days. Michael, what's your website, sir?
PAFamily.org.